Thank you for being in Sunday school. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of James, the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. I always tell people, whenever you go to the book of James, remember this was written by the half-brother to the Savior, Jesus Christ. It was written by someone who would have grown up in the home and seen Jesus as a young person, would have been there with the sinless Son of God. And I can just imagine that Mary, James's mother, would have said, "Why can't you be like your brother?" How about that for a comparison stick? This morning in Sunday school, I want to go through something that is, in my mind, a basic. It's an essential. If you are a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's unimaginable to me that anyone who knows Christ would want to go without what we're going to talk about this morning. Because you would exercise it every single day of your life. You would use it every single day. And there is no way to navigate the Christian life or anything successfully without what we're going to talk about. Yet everywhere I go, I see Christians struggling because they lack this. You say, "Brother Gibbs, what are you going to talk about this morning?" It's the subject of wisdom. Wisdom. Do you have wisdom from God? Now, the Bible says that wisdom is beyond price. Keep your finger there in James and go back to Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to look at what the Bible says about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." By the way, everybody wants to be happy. Well, God says if you've got wisdom, it will make you happy. And the man that getteth understanding. Look at verse 14. "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." God says if you have the choice between wisdom and silver and gold, take wisdom every time. "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." God says there's nothing in your life that's more valuable than wisdom. Now, in our society, we don't measure value by wisdom. We measure value by wealth. We say, "Oh, now there's somebody that has a lot. There's somebody that's rich." And we think that's the moniker of success. God says, no, wisdom is the key. Wisdom is the key. Now turn back to James chapter 1 again, and I want you to see what God has to say. James chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 5. Verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom." Now if you have a marker, I want you to circle the word "lack" that's found in your Bible there. And I want you to circle the word "wisdom." Written to the Christians, and God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let's make sure you know what wisdom is. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge is knowing things. An unsaved person can be incredibly knowledgeable. An unsaved person cannot be wise. Knowledge is a comprehension of a mastery of something. We say that's a knowledgeable professor. That's a knowledgeable mechanic. That's a knowledgeable doctor. Knowledge is knowing things. That's not wisdom. We deal with some lawyers that are incredibly bright. We have one lawyer that we deal with. He's a lawyer. He has 3 PhDs. He's a medical doctor. And he's working on another doctorate. He is incredibly knowledgeable. And if you're going to play trivia, you want him on your side. He's unbelievably knowledgeable about this whole spectrum. But I say this respectfully, he's an educated idiot. How many of y'all have ever met an educated idiot? They're everywhere. He comes to me, and this is what he says, "David, I don't know what to do. You got to tell me what to do." He knows all this stuff, but he doesn't have wisdom. Don't for a moment confuse wisdom and knowledge. You can have a PhD, You can have all kinds of training, and I believe you ought to get all the training you can get. I believe you ought to get all the education you can get. Just don't substitute wisdom for it. Well, Brother Gibbs, what is wisdom then? Write this down. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Are you wise? Of God, do you know what to do? And of God, do you know when to do it? Now, we get hundreds of phone calls a day at our ministry. We get over 100,000 calls a year asking for help. And last night I was on the phone on some critical emergencies. And Pastor Jenkins, they never call and say, Brother Gibbs, tell me everything you know. You know what they call and say? What do we do now? And when do we do it? They're asking for wisdom. You see, you can know all kinds of things, but if you don't know what to do, and if you don't know when to do it, life will tie you up in knots. Now, here's the wonderful thing. God promises you wisdom. Heaven sent wisdom promised of God. And it's not based on your education. It's not based on your age. And it's not based on your life experiences. It's based on the promise of God. But God says you got to do three things to get heaven sent wisdom. And we just read the first one. If any of you lack wisdom, God says the first thing you have to do if you want heaven-sent wisdom is you have to acknowledge that you lack, that you lack. Well, Brother Gibbs, yeah, I may lack a little bit, but I'm pretty bright. Man, I got a lot of skill sets. You'll never get heaven-sent wisdom. Pride's going to crowd it right out of your life. What would it take for you to tell God, I lack? Now, how many of you here have ever made some mistakes? Hold your hand up, would you? How many of you have made some mistakes that could only be qualified as stupid? Hold your hand up, would you? And how many of you, like me, then made them more than one time? Oh, listen. We lack. We lack. My grandfather never completed much education. He left school in the fifth grade because he declined to repeat it for the third time. And when he left school in the fifth grade, the only thing he knew how to do was butcher a cow. That's the only thing. So he left school. Next morning he got up, he got a cow, he butchered it, cut it all up, put it on a wagon, took it into town and sold it in Cleveland, Ohio. Next morning he got up, got another cow, butchered it, and he'd get the people to loan him the cow and pay him at the end of the day. And every day, 6 days a week, he'd get up, cut up a cow, butcher it, and take it and sell it. Pretty soon one cow became two became 10, 10 became 100. By the time I came along and knew anything, my dad and my granddad were slaughtering 5,000 to 7,000 cattle a week, putting them in semis and sending them everywhere. Now, my granddad had virtually no education, but he had unbelievable wisdom. And 100 times when I heard my grandfather pray, he did two things that always amazed me. When my granddad would pray, he'd always tell God his name. He'd say, Lord, this is Earl. And I said, Grandpa, why do you tell God your name? He said, because that's my name. And then the second thing he'd say is, I lack. God, you know it. I know it. Everybody around me knows it. But you don't. Grandpa, you couldn't even write your name smooth. but you knew how to give 1,000 men a full-time job. You didn't have a lot of knowledge, but you had unbelievable wisdom because you acknowledged that you lack. My granddad called me one day, and he said, David, we got to go and meet with the feds in New York City. A lot of the meat is getting sent overseas, and we got to meet with four of these international banks. And boy, they were all the big banks in New York, Bear Stearns and all of them. And he says, the feds are going to be there. And he said, I want you to go with me. I was a lawyer at this point. I said, okay, Grandpa, we'll do it. We went to the Twin Towers. They were still standing then. And I don't remember what floor we were on, but boy, we were up near the top. The clouds in the morning were down below us. You could look down on the clouds. When we got there, we walked in this massive conference room. And it had all this hand-carved oak everywhere. I mean, it's the fanciest conference room I ever saw. And here were these 60-some people we were to meet with, and they all sat in a ring around us, and we sat in the middle. And they were there with their entourage of helpers and everything. And they started talking to us. And they said, do you understand, you need to understand these currency exchanges and the free trade and what you're doing. And right now you're the largest meat exporter in the country. And boy, they went on for an hour and a half. And my granddad and I sat there and listened to him. And finally, the man sitting in the middle, who was the head of the FDA in Washington, looked at my granddad and he said, Mr. Gibbs, do you understand what we're telling you? Do you understand what we're saying? And my granddad said, I am so glad you asked. Because he said, I don't understand anything you're saying. And he said, I'm not sure you understand what you're saying. He said, because if I hear you right, you're contradicting each other. And when my granddad said that, the big banker sitting next to the head of the Fed people hit him on the shoulder and he said, boy, he's got your number, doesn't he? He said, gentlemen, you have to understand something. I lack. But I serve a God who doesn't. I didn't build this business, God did. And he said, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to excuse myself and leave. And he said, I'm going to leave my grandson here, and whatever he agrees to, that'll be okay. I'll agree to it too. And then he turned to me in front of everybody, and he said, David, don't you forget how much you lack. Just because you got a law degree, son, doesn't mean you have wisdom. And then he turned back to all these people, and he said, it would really be helpful if you had been understood that you lack. And he said, I'm going to go, and on the way home, I'm going to buy some cattle. I'm going to take them home, cut them up, and sell them, because if I don't do that, you won't have anything to talk about anyway. And with that, he got up and walked out. Nobody said a word for 2 minutes. And finally, the most powerful man in the room sitting there, the richest, said, what do you do with that? He said, we all lack. We just don't want to admit it. That man's power is that he understands he lacks. You want heaven-sent wisdom? The first thing you have to do is acknowledge that you lack. Now, the world says, no, don't do that. Boy, whatever you do, don't look like you lack. Even if you don't know what you're doing, act like you know what you're doing. You got to be the man large and in charge, and you got to have this positive mental attitude. You don't lack anything. That will destroy you. You want heaven-sent wisdom? God says you have to acknowledge that you lack. look at the second requirement. If any of you lack wisdom, there's number one, let him ask of God. Now, the first thing you got to do is acknowledge you lack. The second thing you got to do is ask. Only note what it says, let him ask. No one can ask for you. You can't ask for anyone else. I tell parents all the time, if your children are going to have heaven-sent wisdom, you need to teach them how to ask. How good were you at asking for wisdom? Asking. My granddad called me in one day, and he would look at all these transactions for buying cattle. We raised a lot of cattle, but we bought even more. And he said, I want you to look at this transaction. He said, we bought this farmer's cattle too cheap. And I looked at the transaction papers, and I said, no, we didn't do anything illegal, Grandpa. I said, we were high bid at the auction. Nobody else bid. We just stole them at auction. I said, you're fine. He said, no, we're not, because he said, that's not how a Christian does it. He said, you want somebody to buy your cattle too cheap? I said, no. He said, then don't you ever do it to anybody else. The Bible says we're to do to others what we'd want them to do to us. And he says, this morning I prayed for wisdom. And boy, God put this across my lap. And David, we got to make this right. Christians don't do it this way. He said, now I've put money in an envelope. And he said, this farmer's about 300 miles from here, and it was the dead of winter in Ohio. And he said, I want you to get there before they go to bed tonight and make this right. You tell them we're Christians, and we want to treat them like we'd want to be treated. No, you get driving and do it, son. Boy, I got in the car and started driving, and all the way there I thought, I wonder if I'd do this. I wonder if you'd do it. Oh, not me, man. If I can get the better end of a deal, I'm going to ring it blue because I'm in it for me. Wait a minute. The Bible says you don't even belong to you. You belong to the Lord. The one thing I can assure you, heaven-sent wisdom is never going to lead you contrary to the Word of God. Never. But all the way there, I kept thinking, I wonder if I'd do it. When I got there, it was dark and it was snowing. Boy, I walked up and knocked on their door, and the farmer's wife came and she pulled a little curtain back and looked out at me, and then they opened the door. And I said, my name's Dave Gibbs, and my granddad, Earl, says we treated you wrong. And we're Christians and we don't do that. We bought your cattle too cheap. And we want to give you this to make it right. They opened that envelope and looked at the money in it. And the farmer's wife started sobbing. She cried so hard she got a nosebleed. And she turned to her husband and she said, what kind of a man does this? And her husband said, a Christian. I told her, I said, my granddad is a fervent Christian. And the reason I'm standing here is because he asked God for wisdom this morning. And God gave him wisdom. I made a trip like that a number of times in my life. My granddad sent other people many times. And everywhere I went, they said, your granddad's the Christian man, isn't he? He didn't buy cattle like the rest of them. He really believes that God tells him what to do. Would people look at you and say, that man, that woman, has God's wisdom. God's telling him what to do. If any of you lack, there's number one. Number two, let him ask of God. Now look at the promise. Let him ask of God, because boy, this promise, you want it underlined. In fact, this is a verse I recommend to everybody to memorize. That giveth to all men liberally. Circle that word liberally. It means God's going to give it to you in any measure beyond any need you have. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Doesn't say it may be given him. God says, if you acknowledge you lack and you ask, it shall be given him. It shall be. Wow. Well, Brother Gibbs, and boy, this is a mistake I've made, Brother Jenkins, many times. I don't have as much of the wisdom of God as I'd like to have, but Brother Gibbs, I have some. No, you don't. God never gives a little bit of his wisdom. It wouldn't do any good. You'd mess everything up. You still wouldn't know what to do and when to do it. When he gives his wisdom, he gives it liberally, in measure beyond anything you need. I know wonderful Christians that have navigated their whole life, some of them for decades, who never did it with heaven-sent wisdom. They meant well, but they never acknowledged that they lacked, and they never asked. Now, the word ask there was the word for asking and keep on asking. It wasn't for something doing it once. Okay, well, there I've asked, and boy, now it's mine. No, no, no. God says, I want you to keep on asking. What would it take for you to acknowledge you lack? And then by the grace of God, knowing what to do and when to do it, you keep asking. But look at the next thing that he says. But, here's number three, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Remember I said there's three requirements? Number one, you got to acknowledge you lack. Number two, you got to ask. And the word ask there is asking and keep asking, and it was the word for asking with specificity. Yeah, you say, well, I pray every day for God to be with me. That's not asking. God says, I need heaven-sent wisdom. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great London preacher, when he was asked, what's at the top of your prayer list every day with God? He said, wisdom. And he said, that's what I tell all my preacher boys to put at the top of their prayer list. He said, I have hundreds and hundreds of things on my daily prayer list, but wisdom is at the top. Knowing what to do and when to do it. America needs to see some people who know what to do and who know when to do it. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. God says, you got to ask. You got to admit you lack, but you got to do it in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, verse 7 is a frightening verse. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God says, if you don't ask in faith, you're getting nothing. You can go through all the exercise, but faith is the only currency that spends in heaven. Do you understand what faith is? It's not that God can, it's that God will. You have the promise of God. If you admit you lack, and if you ask, God says, I'm giving it to you. And you got to take me at my word and believe that. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I just think there's got to be more. No, there's not more. Heaven-sent wisdom is taken by faith. By faith. A preacher came to our town, an evangelist, when I was a young man. And he called my dad, and he said, I understand you're a Christian. My dad said, I am. And he said, I understand you have semis, some big trucks. My dad says, I got a lot of them, yeah. He said, well, my tent, we don't have trucks anymore powerful enough to pull it up. He said, our trucks are shot. And he said, I wonder if you could come out with some of your semis and help me pull my tent up. We're going to start an evangelistic crusade. My dad said, I'll be glad to do it for you. Well, it was a Saturday morning, and my dad and I, and he had a couple of his other drivers there with semis, and we drove out. And when we got there and looked at the guy's tent, this young pastor, my dad said, I don't know how to tell you this, but your tent is shot. You understand, you got more patches in this tent than you have tent. And he said, oh, I know that. My dad said, what do you do when it leaks, when it rains? He said, oh, we have to cancel services because we used to catch it in buckets, but now we don't have enough buckets. And my dad says, well, I'll pull this up for you. We got the trucks will do that. But he said, I'm worried the whole thing's just going to be pulled apart. And he said, well, I'll go over here and pray that that don't happen and you pull it up. Well, my dad and them, they got that tent up in the air, and boy, it didn't look good on the ground, but it looked terrible up in the air. And my dad said, you know, we ought to help you raise money to get a new tent. And the guy said, no, I don't want a new tent. My dad said, why? He said, because I've been led of the Lord. I've asked God for wisdom. I've been led of the Lord. I'm going to start a church here. We're going to put the services on television and put the gospel out over television. My dad said, you're going to put the church on television? Now, I know that's everywhere now, but that was nowhere then. This was back when there were three stations, maybe. Most of them went off the air at night. Now, how many of you remember when the TV screens used to be full of white snow? How many of you remember the white snow days? And how many of you remember when you'd walk by them, your hair would go to the thing, right? I mean, no telling what it was radiating us. And this guy says, I want to put a fundamental church on television with the gospel. And my dad says, well, you got money? He said, no, I got no money. And he says, you think you're going to be able to do this? He said, I've asked God for wisdom. And God's going to tell me what to do and how to do it. Now, be careful here. Do you know what we fall into? Boy, I want to do this for God. Now, let me see if I can figure it out. And God says, no. I want to tell you what to do and how to do it. Well, I remember all the way home, my dad said, boy, I love the spirit of that young man, but he said, I really think that's kind of goofy. There's nothing on television that's religious at all. Well, he started his church, and we went to some services, and pretty soon we were going to that church. And every day, every service, he'd stand up and he said, now you pray. I'm asking God for wisdom, and God's going to show me how to and when to do it. And then he said, I want you to pray next Saturday. I'm driving up into Cleveland, and the most powerful station in the state of Ohio, I'm going to ask them to put us on. And I'm going to tell them we have no money. I need to do it for free. And he said, I'm going to go up there and do it. Well, he went up to see the guy that owned the station, got there Saturday morning. And the station owner was not amused. He said, let me get this right. You want me to give you airtime? He said, yeah, you need to. I have no money. And God has sent me, and I believe God wants this on this station, and I'm asking for wisdom. And the guy said, well, explain this to me. Why would I give it to you for free when I have people standing in line to buy it? Why would I give it away? And he said, because God wants you to do it. And he said, I don't like you. I got no room for God. Get out. Well, he came back to church on Sunday and reported everything, and he said, you keep praying. God's working. I know God's given us wisdom. This is what he wants us to do, and this is when he wants us to do it. And all the way home in the car, my dad said, it don't make sense, but he's got faith. He believes God's going to do it. When God shows you what to do and when to do it, do you have the faith to do it? Let him ask in faith. Because if you don't have faith, God says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, he went up there the next weekend and the next weekend. And for a year and a half, every single Saturday, our pastor went up there. And for a year and a half, he got thrown out. And it got to be where the station owner would cuss at him. And he said, you are not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He said, there's no way in the world I'm letting you on television. I'll never give it to you. He said, this is a complete waste of time. He said, I don't know why in the world for a year and a half you've not missed one Saturday standing here asking for it. It's always the same story. You got no money and you believe God told you. And he said, I don't know why. I think you'll probably be back the next Saturday. Well, our pastor was getting ready to walk out the door. And a lady sitting at a desk there, a secretary, said, could I ask you for something? He said, sure. He said, every Saturday you come here and you hand out these gospel tracts everywhere. And you keep giving the man that owns this the gospel tracts. And she said, I have a sister who's dying. Would you come try to lead her to the Lord? And our pastor said, well, sure, I'd be honored to. She said, well, get in your car and follow me. Well, he started following her, and he thought it was going to be somewhere in the area. What he didn't know is her sister was 220 miles away. So he's following her, and pretty soon he's running on vapors. He has no gas. And he's not halfway there, so he's flashing his lights, and the lady he's following pulls over, and he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm out of gas, and I don't have any money for gas. I am so sorry. She said, that's okay. I'll fill your tank. Come on. Put the money in. On their way they went, got to this lady, talked to her for an hour, and led her to Christ. The lady got saved. They're walking out of the home of the lady that got saved. It was the sister to this woman. And the woman who led him down there said, next Saturday when you come, be ready. You're going to be on television. He said, how can you do that? She said, I'm the wife of the guy that owns it. And what he doesn't tell anybody, it's all in my name. I'm the one that owns it. And for a year and a half, I've sat there and watched you beg. And be so polite, even when he cusses at you, terrible. We need your gospel on television. All you keep talking about is God's leading. Wisdom, knowing what to do and when to do it. Boy, the next Saturday he went up there, and boy, he was on television. Within 10 years' time, that program was on 1,800 stations nationwide. And then it went around the world. And it was all done by that lady. She called everybody she knew who owned a station and said, you put this on. Heaven sent wisdom, knowing what to do and when to do it. He would always give a clear gospel message. And then he'd say, now if you prayed this prayer, and he'd always give the Romans Road, if you prayed this prayer, I want you to write me and tell me that you did it. And in an average week, they'd have 22 to 24,000 people write and say, I prayed that prayer with you. And then they'd send back, "Now that you believe." And he'd work to get these people in solid fundamental churches. Wisdom. Knowing what to do and when to do it. Have you got it? Have I got it? God's promised that he's no respecter of persons. If you lack, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Only let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When my grandfather passed away, we were going to have a funeral. We were going to have an open house at the funeral for visitors to come from 2 in the afternoon until 8 at night. And then the funeral would be the next morning. They had to postpone the funeral for 3 days. Thousands of farmers showed up. Thousands. Unexpected. They came from everywhere. Here we are in Cleveland, Ohio. They're there from Texas and Iowa and Montana and Florida. And a bunch of farmers from Virginia, great cattle in Virginia. And they were all there. And for 3 days, I stood by his casket, and they walked by, and they said, "Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you why I'm here. He had something." That lady I took that check to in the middle of the night, she walked by. And she hugged my neck. And I know it's hard to imagine now, but back then they all called me Little Gibbs. She said, "Little Gibbs, be like your granddad. He had God telling him what to do. Be like him, son." At the end of the trail, when they walk by you, what are they going to be able to say? Are they going to be able to say, "I'm telling you, that woman had the wisdom of God. That man had God telling him what to do and when to do it." Oh, it'll change everything. Everything. I had a Sunday school teacher. He was my Sunday school teacher for 4 years. His name was Cecil Weigel. And Brother Cecil was a carpenter. Now, this is in the day before all the pneumatic and power tools. This is the day when carpenters used a hammer and hammered and sawed, and Cecil Weigel had hands on him like that. And he was not eloquent. But every Sunday he'd stand up with us boys and teach us the Bible. And he'd always cry. And he'd say, "You boys deserve so much better than me. I lack." When I heard that, I thought, boy, that's what my granddad says. But he said, "I'm asking God to give me wisdom, boys." And he said, "When we finish this class, I want you to have heard from God, not from me. I want you to hear from God." I got word that Cecil Weigel had passed away. And I told my wife, I said, "I want to go to his funeral." Now, his funeral was from where I was at, 1,200 miles away. But I said, "I'm going." When I got to his funeral, unannounced, I walked in. And here were about 80 of his boys that he had in Sunday school who'd come from all over the country to his funeral. And when I walked in, several of them came up to me and they said, "David, what are you doing here?" I said, "What are you doing here?" They said, we all come to see the man that showed us wisdom. He didn't have hardly any education, but he had wisdom. Would anybody want to come by you and say, this is the man, this is the woman that showed me wisdom, knowing what to do and when to do it? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because the Bible says, if we don't ask in faith, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Our country right now is desperate for wisdom. Our churches and our families are desperate for wisdom. There is no substitute for the wisdom of God. Acknowledge your lack. Ask. But do it in faith, nothing wavering. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I've made a mess of some things. How many of you have ever made a mess of some things? Hold your hand up, would you? How many of you, like me, are just thrilled everybody doesn't know about all the messes you've made? Yeah. Listen, God wants to take you right where you are and start with wisdom. Wisdom. And can I tell you, don't let pride and vanity get you where you won't admit you lack. Can I remind you, the Bible says that God will go against the proud. He'll resist the proud. But he says, humble yourself, and God will lift you up. Acknowledge you lack. Ask, and do it in faith. I don't know what last week was like, but next week can be like none you've ever had before in your life. Because you, by promise of God, can know what to do and when to do it. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for this wonderful Sunday school time. Thank you for this priceless passage of Scripture. God, would they leave here if they forget everything I've said? That's no loss. But may we never forget what the Word of God says. That you want us to have your wisdom. Heads bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God rang a bell in my heart this morning. I want that wisdom. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold them high. Father, you see our hands. More importantly, you see our hearts. By your grace, by your promise, we acknowledge we lack. And we're asking in faith. Thank you. Thank you that you've promised to show us what to do and when to do it. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And all God's children together said, amen. Pastor.
All right, we've got about 15 minutes until the morning service. That was outstanding. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.